your show for this Thursday, the 8th of September, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, our friends up in Globe and Gila County, they are listening to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1240 KJAA. Our friends in Cochise County, Sierra Vista, Tombstone, Douglas, listening in Douglas on KAPR AM 930. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web, buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there, along with an archive of our previous programs. Plus, we're delighted with our new arrangement that the Buckmaster Show can be heard at TucsonSentinel.com. The Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. We're live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We've got a great lineup today. A lead-off interview with emergency response expert Les Cade. The question for Mr. Cade is going to be, is Tucson and Southern Arizona better prepared for a massive emergency 10 years after 9/11? We'll explore that question. Then at 20 minutes past the hour, an update on the Adopt a Cop program. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with my friend and writer Peter Laufer, who is retracing his cross-country post-9/11 trip. Then we'll close out the show with the Buckmaster Show legal contributor Don Luce. The Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call in on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll-free from anywhere in North America, 1-866-725-5467. You can also email questions to us at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. If you have a story idea or particular guest that you would like to hear me interview, we encourage you to contact us. Well, the attacks on America 10 years ago this Sunday were, of course, one of the darkest days in our country's history, but at the same time, the response to those attacks brought people together, really brought the best out in many people, including first responders. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Les Cade. Mr. Cade is the chief of the Rio Rico Fire District. He's was a longtime Tucson Fire Department official. He retired there as deputy chief. Then he was regional fire chief for Rural Metro for 4 years. He also owns Fifth Phase Company, an emergency management consultant. I've known Les Cade for many years. And Les, it's great to see you.
Bill, thank you very much. Great to see you.
And it's good to see you. And I think back when we talked just after 9/11, we talked on the TV show many times about preparedness. When you look back over that past decade, how are we here in Southern Arizona? Take our temperature.
Well, I have to say, other than the summer temperature being hot, as it always is.
One of the hottest.
We in Southern Arizona are much like the rest of the country. We pulled a group of public safety officials to the table to have the dialogue, to look at what we do every day, into what is called the all hazards approach to preparedness, and I think we're doing very well. Are we completely ready to respond to any event in the best way possible? I think we are, but there's always room for improvement, and no matter what you do, and so that preparedness we're in a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, this is long term. As you look at the infinite needs and finite resources of public safety agencies, you realize, we still have a ways to go, but we've really made improvements since 9/11.
The government really stepped up after 9/11 and doled out a lot of money in the form of the Urban Area Security Initiative grants. The city of Tucson, other agencies throughout Southern Arizona and Arizona got quite a bit of money. But earlier this year, federal officials cut Tucson from the grant program, along with the city of Honolulu, Kansas City, Sacramento, and 27 other cities. And I know they're waiting up in Phoenix. They may be next to get their funding cut off. Is this common now? The funding is drying up?
Yeah, we're seeing the trend across the United States. Obviously, in these dire economic times, Congress is looking for ways to save money. Unfortunately, it's hitting the public safety sector. You know, we typically are underfunded to begin with in a lot of cases. But when you talk about the need to prepare for the all hazards, they start off with the CBRN, which is a chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, explosive events. Then you add natural disasters to those, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the flooding. And then you
the look pandemics, at the public illness, health my issues. Goodness, we keep hearing we are so long overdue for a repeat of the terrible pandemic of 1918, which killed millions of people around the globe. And I think officials like yourself are always worried about that reappearing.
Well, Bill, you're exactly right, because you look at the science, and historically and statistically, we are going to see a pandemic flu. And obviously public health, a vital part of every community, is also part of the funding that is being cut as well. So, you know, we look at prevention measures, and we look at how do we educate the public. And when dollars start drying up, those are some of the first things that stop.
And I know the divisions in Southern Arizona, the departments of which you're a part, there are many jurisdictions. Do you have any idea how many there are in Southern Arizona, different fire department jurisdictions? It's dozens, right?
There are dozens. I know in Pima County alone there's almost 30. There's six separate fire districts and fire departments in Santa Cruz County. Half a dozen, two dozen in Cochise County, and we're not talking law enforcement at this point. So you add all those agencies in, and there really at some point has to be some discussion on how do we merge, how do we start to consolidate. But, that might be a ways down the road. Unfortunately, you get three fire chiefs in the room, and our heads are so big they hit together, and we can't talk.
What are you talking about? Coming into my turf, you're not going to consolidate my fire department. We do a great job in this community, and we don't need the others.
Right. That dialogue has to start happening. We need to be able to be realistic about this. And so, that might be beyond the scope of what I can deal with right now, but I really think we need to have some serious discussions about that.
It's 12:12 on the Buckmaster Show. If you have a question for Les Cade, he is the fire chief in Rio Rico, and he knows emergency preparedness. He's been doing it all his life, pretty much, all his adult life, anyway.
Well, that's the funny part. I did go to school here, and in high school, I was voted most likely to cause a disaster. So somehow I migrated into helping people during disasters, so it's worked out for me.
790-2040, and it's not just pandemics. We've got trucks rolling through Tucson. We've got trains. It's not that the potential isn't there, unfortunately.
Well, we have a great potential, not only in Tucson proper, I mean, with Davis-Monthan as well, planes, and we've had a history of those military planes coming down. But obviously, as you mentioned, the railroad, you have the over-the-road vehicles, hazardous materials being transported every day. You go down to southern Arizona, the I-19 corridor, you've got obviously a lot of commercial traffic, produce being brought up through that port. I think sometimes it's close to 80% of the produce from the that's used in the United States is coming up through that border port. And so port security is also an issue. We've got a porous border. The Border Patrol is being pressured every day with the amount of individuals crossing illegally. So there's some real challenges that we're all facing, and we've all got to face that together in public safety.
Les Cade, how often are the emergency disaster rehearsals performed, and do you have any big ones planned, an area-wide one?
Well, that's one of the great things after 9/11. I mean, some seeds that were planted that have grown, you know, the relationships, everybody being brought to the table. We're doing a lot more drills and exercises. And as a matter of fact, in April of 2012, we've got a planned exercise in southern Arizona down in Santa Cruz County with the Tucson Urban Area Security Initiative, Tucson Fire, and the response partners, Tucson Police, will be deploying down there in an exercise to help out if we were overwhelmed in an event down at the border.
We had a disaster. Of course, everybody knows about the January shootings, and I think it's safe to say it was a disaster for this community. How did we respond when you look at the response to the Gifford shootings?
You know, that was really a testament to the hard work of the men and women in public safety, because it really was a tragic event, but a very successful response. It was a successful recovery because of the efforts of all the citizens in the city of Tucson, and it placed agencies like or organizations like UMC in a great light. They did a great job. Northwest Fire did a great job. Pima County Sheriff's Office, Pima County Office of Emergency Management, and they took a look also critically on how to improve those.
Yeah, you were quoted in an article in the newspaper, I believe, shortly after the shootings, and the article was about the patchwork of some of the response as far as communicating.
Right, and yeah. Communication is always our biggest challenge, always has been. Unfortunately, it still is our biggest challenge. We've got to continue to have that dialogue on how to improve communications. The FCC regulations sometimes put us at a disadvantage. There's a cost involved with that, as there always is, so that we're all on UHF or VHF frequencies, that we're able to, you know, speak through the same common language, which is something that we're now all using, a plain language rather than codes. But when we respond to a school, for example, or a hospital, for example, they have to understand what police and fire are talking about. If we, you know, we say we need you to evacuate, we need you to come outside, we need you, it's not going to be a code blue or a code red. We need to be able to communicate very well using plain language.
Les Cade, thank you very much for being with us. Chief Cade from the Rio Rico Fire District. He's the head down there now of Rio Rico, their fire district. Thanks, Les, for being with us. And I guess the summary takeaway point from our interview is we are better prepared here in Southern Arizona 10 years after 9/11.
Bill, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Les Cade with us. Next, Adopt a Cop. That's next on the Buckmaster Show at 12:17. We are live on the Buckmaster Show Monday through Friday, noon to 1, KVOI, The Voice. Stay with us.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lemon Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. It's 12:22. This is the Buckmaster Show, named for me, Bill Buckmaster, on AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, the home of the Buckmaster Show. And we're delighted also if you are listening in Cochise County. Actually, we're in about eight counties because we're on three radio stations with the Buckmaster Show. And I like to say we've got Southern Arizona covered from one end to the other. Well, the Tucson Police Foundation is in the midst of an effort to raise money for new vests for officers of the police department. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Rob LeMaster. He's the executive director of the Tucson Police Foundation. Rob, good to see you.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing real well. And first of all, do officers have to wear a vest?
They are not mandated to wear a vest right now. Most of them do. It depends on what their duty is, and that's we're trying to get that. We're also trying to do a matching grant situation. So that's what we're raising the money for initially, is to match a federal grant that TPD had, and then we're finding that we need to purchase a few more than initially we had thought.
How many do you need? How many would you like to have?
Well, what we've got, we have 161 officers on the list that meet the criteria of their vests. Their initial vests have to be more than 5 years old, and they have to be in a duty such as patrol or another duty that requires them to wear it. The grant will cover about 102 officers. We've met that match, but we need to raise the money to cover the other 59 officers that are on the list, and then we'll expand it beyond that if we if we're so lucky.
Adopt a Cop is a program. Tell us a little bit about that and how that fits in with the VEST program.
Right. Well, we started the Adopt a Cop program. We had had a capital equipment campaign, and when TPD came to us and said, "Hey, we've got this matching funds. Can you help us raise the money? Because if we don't spend it by the end of September, we're going to lose it." And we said, "What's the best way?" And we thought, "Adopt a Vest," but we want it to be beyond that. The Adopt a Cop program is going to be one of the Tucson Police Foundation's vehicles for the community to help get involved in and to fund needed items for TPD on an ongoing basis. And the vests are the first thing that we focused on.
What kind of money does it cost to buy a vest? And are these state of the art vests?
Well, they are. There's different levels, and the level that we're talking about here, the vests are between the $700 and $800. So that's why we're asking for an $800 donation to Adopt a Cop to fund a vest. And it depends if an officer wants to go beyond the basics, they can upgrade. And you had asked a question earlier about that you thought they were covered.
Yeah, just from the public's point of view, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this this thinking, that I just assumed that the city gave every officer a police vest.
Right, and that is true when they're initially hired. They get, that's part of the initial equipment they get. Then each officer gets as part of their pay, they get an annual or twice a year, they get an equipment and uniform stipend. That's taxed. So let's say it's $700 a year. The net is not $700 a year. You've got other pieces of equipment. You've got other parts of the uniform that obviously wear out, like everything you and I wear to work. And in times like these, where they've had furlough days, where overtime's gone, where a lot of off-duty work is not there, to be honest, some of that, since it is part of their pay, it's going to other things. That, paired with the fact that we have the grant to match, we decided, okay, let's focus, let's go out, and let's try to get every officer that has a vest that's over 5 years old, let's get them a new one.
How do we get new ones for them? How can folks help out?
People can go to the AdoptACopTucson.org website. They can also link to that from the TucsonPoliceFoundation.org website, or they can call our office at 207-2878. And we've gotten donations anywhere from $5 to $5,000.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, just because a vest costs about $800 doesn't mean that the donation has to be $800.
No, not at all. I mean, we've had a gentleman
say $5.
Exactly. We've had a gentleman come by our office and give us $5. We've had a group, the American Gym Trade Association, that puts on the big gym show. They've pledged $5,000 towards vest, because they really work very closely with TPD, and they have for several years, and they want to help support them. So we're all over the map. There's no donation too small or too large.
Are these vests, these ballistic vests, are they not warrantied by the manufacturer for the life of the vest or whatever that would be?
They are not. They are, most manufacturers warrant them for the 5 years. And that doesn't mean that the actual ballistic plates, the armor plates, don't wear out. But what starts to wear out is the fabric. If you and I wore the same undershirt every day to work, it would wear out, because you wash it, you have different wear and tear on it.
That could be a problem in this very tight quarters that we are in here in our studio.
Exactly. Sorry to be graphic.
That's all right. 12:28 on the Buckmaster Show. Rob LeMaster's with us from the Tucson Police Foundation. How's the morale right now at TPD?
You know, I talked to the men and women at TPD several times a week. We're an independent 501c3, but we work strictly to raise money for training and equipment for TPD. And we talk to them all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to police officers every day, right?
Whether it's a meeting or whether I run into them at Circle K getting a soft drink or something. And they are amazingly upbeat. They love Tucson. They love their job. They love serving the people of Tucson.
And I always love to see those bumper stickers, adopt a cop.
Well, we have Thank a Cop. That's our program.
Thank a Cop, because, I mean, it's a very, very dangerous job. And they don't make a lot of money, let's face it. I mean, they put their lives on the line for not a lot of money.
And they're pretty well compensated, but for what they do is you and I don't have people potentially shooting at us when we go to work every day.
No, thank goodness. So once again, let's go over that in the remaining few seconds. It's the website adoptacoptucson.org.
Correct.
Or you can go to the TucsonPoliceFoundation.org and just click on the information
for
the
logo.
Donation, or 207-2878 if you'd like to make a donation. Remember, it's $800 to purchase a vest, but any amount of money would be welcome.
Oh, definitely. And the community has really responded to this, and we want to say thank you to everybody.
Thank you, Rob LeMaster. Good luck
thank
to you.
Thank you. Appreciate Thanks being
here. It's the Buckmaster Show, 12:30. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Additional evacuations are being ordered as the remains of Tropical Storm Lee send the Susquehanna River to near record levels in Pennsylvania down into Maryland. Investigators say a wildfire caused by a plane crash in California burned twice as many buildings as first thought. Democrats say this evening's job speech is seen by the White House as a pivot point after a spring and summer that were spent in negotiations on deficit spending. Republicans say they'll give the president a fair hearing. The Obama administration says the U.S. will veto any bid by the Palestinians to seek statehood recognition at the U.N. Security Council. A Wall Street update, the Dow down 87 points, the NASDAQ off 17, the S&P 11 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. Two out of three people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection at Golf Links and Kolb and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:35. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on KVOI AM 1030, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We're joined now by attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of 2 very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, good to see you.
Bill, it's great to be back.
You know, I saw that story in the Arizona Daily Star about a new Arizona law mandating $25 for a prison visit, and the first thing on my mind is that legal?
Well, that's what Common Cause is going to find out. There's actually a lawsuit in Maricopa County over this issue. Effective July 1st, the Department of Corrections started charging a one-time $25 per visitor fee. So if you were going to visit a relative, unless you were under the age of 18, you would be required to tender $25 to the Department of Corrections for the visitation. And this law, by the way, is expected to generate about $750,000 a year in visitation fees.
But still, $25 to see loved ones, I mean, it seems like kind of a cheap shot.
It really does. The interesting thing about the lawsuit is that the plaintiff is contending that the fee is unconstitutional because the fee is not used for the background check that the Department of Corrections says that's what it costs for a visitor to be checked to make sure that their background is suitable for the visitation. The plaintiff says the money is being used for building renewal and maintenance, which means that it has arguably nothing to do with the cost of doing a background search on the person who wants to visit the relative. But anyway, so it's an interesting lawsuit for a number of reasons, but I thought the legal arguments that were advanced were particularly interesting because the money, the $750,000 a year or whatever this $25 per visitor fee is going to generate in terms of per annual fees, is being used to improve the buildings.
What about kids? Are they exempt, I guess, from this?
That's the only exemption. children younger than 18 are exempt. So if kids want to visit relatives, they're free.
Well, it's been a busy since we saw you a month ago. Kind of lots of legal actions. Now there's Arizona cannot stop insurance benefits for domestic partners of gay state workers. This is, was this a Ninth U.S. Circuit deal?
It was. The lawsuit was originally brought in the United States District Court for Arizona. And the complaint was that back in 2008, when the term domestic partners was defined to include unmarried workers, that the state thereafter couldn't change the definition and exclude gay partners. So they filed suit. And by way of background, that 2008 change lasted only 1 year because after the law was changed to include domestic partners of unmarried workers, Janet Napolitano left the governor's office to become Homeland Security Secretary. And after her departure, Governor Brewer rescinded the law, changed the definition back to what it was. And the plaintiff in this lawsuit said, look, you probably have the right to not provide dependent coverage for your state and university workers. But if you do provide dependent coverage, you can't discriminate on the basis of marriage, because in Arizona, gay people are not legally allowed to marry. The Constitution says marriage is between one man and one woman. So they were saying, look, either provide dependent coverage but include us, or don't provide dependent coverage. But since you do provide dependent coverage to everyone but us, we ought to be included. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with the plaintiffs in that case. And they said, you violate equal protection by discriminating against gay domestic partners. So you have the right not to provide dependent coverage, but if you do, you have to provide it for everyone.
So the ruling does not end the efforts by lawmakers and Governor Brewer to curtail the benefits.
No, it does not. What it says is if dependent coverage is provided, it needs to also be provided to domestic partners.
Also, the lawsuit claiming that access filing is illegal, the illegal liens against the injured, this has been going on and on and on, and there's new developments, I guess, on this, Don Luce.
And the issue in this case, Bill, has to do with access filing liens against people's personal injury settlements. So to provide the background, if you're injured in an auto accident and your medical bills are paid by Access, which is Arizona's Medicaid equivalent, Access, once learning that you have a personal injury case, will file a lien against your personal injury settlement for the entire amount of the medical bills that they paid on your behalf. And then the process works such that when you receive your settlement, you are required to pay to Access the amount of their lien. Now, in most cases, the injured party's attorney negotiates a settlement with Access, but in some cases, Access demands that the entire amount of the medical expenses that it paid be reimbursed from the settlement. And so what the plaintiff in this case is saying, and this was just filed, by the way, in Maricopa County, by three plaintiffs, all of whom suffered serious injuries in car accidents. What they're saying is, look, we settled our cases. We got less than 100 cents on the dollar for our injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And you want the full amount of the medical expenses reimbursed. That's not fair, is basically the argument. What they're saying is, if we only got 90% of what we're entitled to in the settlement, then we ought to be liable to you for only 90% of the medical expenses that you paid on our behalf. And they're citing a Supreme Court decision involving an Arkansas case that seems to stand for that proposition. But the really interesting thing about this case is that the three plaintiffs who filed it are seeking to have it certified as a class action, and if that occurs, it will involve literally thousands of other people who were formerly plaintiffs in personal injury suits and who reimburse Access the full amount of the medical expenses.
So this will go on, it looks like, quite a while.
Well, not only that, but it could potentially be a huge verdict for the plaintiffs and certainly a large settlement if it achieves class action status.
Quickly running out of time here, a few more seconds with Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce, the author of Arizona Laws 101, one of his two books, and Estate Planning in Arizona is the other. And you're updating the Arizona Laws 101. There's never a shortage of Arizona law.
There is
Make
never.
Sure you put the one about the visiting the prisoner. The prisoners in there, Don.
Well, the interesting thing about Arizona law is it is
pay to visit the prisoners.
Ever changing.
And we didn't have time to get into the Supreme Court taking up the Pierce recall, but does it look like the recall is going to go forward?
It looks to me like it will.
Okay, Don Luce, thank you very much
for
being
Bill.
With us, and we'll see you in October.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. We'll be talking with writer Peter Laufer, who's doing a cross-country post 9/11 trip 10 years later. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialist and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard.
Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Coming up on 1250 on the Buckmaster Show, I am Bill Buckmaster. When the planes went into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, journalist Peter Laufer was at a meeting at the National Geographic Society in Washington, D.C. Peter bought a video camera, rented a car, and drove 3,000 miles back to his home base in San Francisco. Along the way, he recorded interviews as he crossed the country with a subsidy from a research grant from the University of Oregon, where he is now a professor. Peter Laufer is retracing his route, stopping in many of the same towns and cities and talking, hopefully, to many of the same people. Peter Laufer is a highly honored journalist who has earned the George Polk and Edward R. Murrow Awards. He's the author of several books, including his latest, which has just been published by the University of Arizona Press, titled Calexico, The True Lives of the Borderlands. A personal note, Peter and I worked together in All News Radio in San Jose, California, back in 1979. And here we are, 32 years later, I'm back on the radio. And Peter, you're by the side of the road in Kansas. How you doing, Peter?
It's so great to talk with you, Bill. After all of these years, to be back on the radio with you is a real treat. And you're right, I am in Bunker Hill, Kansas.
And what are you finding, Peter, on this retracing trip?
Well, in one respect, you will really appreciate this, Bill, world traveler that you are. It's an extraordinary adventure. And just minutes ago, and the reason I'm late to this interview with you, and excuse me, please, I managed to find Jim Madden, and he was working on his trailer on a dusty side street here in this crossroads of just a few hundred people. I talked with him last 10 years ago at a truck stop a mile down the road from Bunker Hill along Interstate 70, and he is a mid-American curmudgeon who was analyzing what he sees happened the last 10 years for me. And there's something really intriguing about not just bracketing this time period and looking back on what occurred, but doing it with the same people I encountered, or many of the same people, 10 years ago.
What's the message? Is there a message, Peter, that these people are telling you 10 years later, something that stands out in all of your interviews?
Yeah, Bill, the thing that I hear over and over again is not concern about terrorism, not a whole lot of interest in memorializing the 10-year period, and just screaming and yelling about the economy. That is what people are talking about as I'm crossing the country. Of course, this isn't a scientific sampling. It's people that I'm looking for that I found haphazardly 10 years ago, but maybe that's its own type of science.
And, you know, when you're reflecting, it's not only reflecting on the lives of the people that you interfaced with 10 years ago. I'm sure there's a lot of your own reflection on these 10 years and your own life and all that's happened to you, Peter Laufer.
Well, you know, Bill, one of the things that, and I'm traveling with my wife, Sheila, and we're talking about these things as we go across the country, and starting in Terre Haute, Indiana, one of the things that is really troubling that we're noting is the, and it's something that apparently President Obama is going to be talking about this evening, but it is the degradation of our own country and the infrastructure of our own country. And Terre Haute, this, which was clearly a magnificent town on, I believe it was the Wabash, it's all starting to blur together at this point, and there's a university there. The downtown is eviscerated, and it's all along the strip malls near the interstate, and gracious old neighborhoods with what were beautiful houses 100, 150 years ago, dilapidated. I guess the message I'm seeing is that we really have to give some attention back home.
Yeah, and I want to mention also your book, Calexico, and we're not talking about the very popular band from Tucson. We're talking about Calexico, the city, true lives of the borderlands. And I think, Peter, many people worry that we're becoming almost a third world country in many parts of this country.
Well, one of the things that's intriguing about looking at the border through the lens of Calexico, Bill, is that that's the dynamic to a great extent. Mexicali, on the south side, on the Mexican side, is a vibrant metropolis with great restaurants, and it's the capital of Baja California Norte, or now just Baja California is the state, and the university is there, the public university. It's a vibrant city of 1.5 million people. Calexico is the backwater, and Calexico is in increasingly desperate straits because so much of its economic base was Mexicans coming north to shop, and that's growing more and more difficult because of the security procedures the federal government put in place on the border.
You've always been fascinated with borders. You've crossed many of them. You've traveled. I believe your country count is now at about 49.
Nothing close to yours, Bill.
Yeah, we're at 86 right now and pushing, trying to close in on that Century Travelers Club at 100. What is it about borders, Peter, that fascinates you?
I think borders, Bill, borders, identity, migration, this kind of movement, which no matter how much of an America first, English only, no mixing of ethnicities, races, language somebody might want to be, it's an impossible feat, not something to aspire to, I don't think, but also impossible. And that mixing, that liminoid zone, is something that intrigues me no end because of the transitions that are occurring, and those transitions, sure, they are problematic and sometimes cause us trouble, but much more often they enhance our experiences. And to live in a place where there is that kind of mixing, as you're lucky enough to do, and I did when I was in California, and I'm not when I'm in Oregon nearly as much, just powers our lives, I think, with creativity.
We're talking with writer Peter Laufer. His newest book is Calexico, True Lives of the Borderlands. It is published by the UA Press, University of Arizona Press. Peter, as we wrap this up in the remaining 2 minutes, as you do this cross-country, you've got, what, another week or two to go? And what will you do with this material, Peter?
Well, I wish I had a week or two. It's going to be much faster. We're really barreling across.
You're ready to hit the freeway again, huh?
Ready to hit the freeway again and get this Buick up to 75, which is the speed limit now on the interstates in Kansas. It's appearing this week in the San Francisco Chronicle, and if your listeners are curious, sfgate.com is the Chronicle address. And then I'm putting together a documentary with footage from 10 years ago and what we're shooting this week, and I hope that it gives a different perspective to all of this reflection on September 11th, because the Middle America perspective often has not been sought, because understandably, we've been looking at Washington and New York, the target cities.
Well, Peter, it's been great talking to you, and just hearing your voice brings back kind of the good old days when we worked together at All News Radio in San Jose, and we were not just calling around the Bay Area. What were we doing, Peter? We were calling all over the world.
Oh, boy, were we, and I think that fueled our wanderlust for both of us, Bill. And yeah, I feel the same way hearing your voice. I'm so glad you're back on the radio, and I will be in Tucson in April for the book festival. And I know you must, after all these years, owe me a beer.
I think so, Peter Lauffer. Good to talk with you. And perhaps when you're in Tucson, we'll have you here in studio with me. How's that sound?
That sounds just great. Thank you for your interest in the book and in this trip, Bill. And I look forward to seeing you.
Thanks a lot. That's Peter Lauffer, my friend, former colleague from news radio days in the San Francisco Bay Area. Peter's book is Calexico, True Lives of the Borderlands. It is published by UA Press. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger is the CPA firm of The Buckmaster Show, and that's going to do it for our Thursday edition. Tomorrow on The Buckmaster Show, UA economist Marshall Vest. He is also one of the survivors of 9/11. He was there when the planes went into the World Trade Center. We'll be reflecting on that and the Tucson and Arizona economy tomorrow on Friday Focus on The Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Cortero, Tucson, 930 KAPR Douglas, and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.